Hello, and welcome to the Alloy Personal Training Business Podcast, a show for people who want to take their personal training businesses and fitness coaching skills to the next level. Team Alloy has been in the personal training business since 1992 and share their insights from working with businesses and brands around the world. Listen in for secrets and tips on running a successful fitness business, from personal training, marketing, staff management, scaling your business, and everything in between. If you are interested in having your own personal training business, our systems are well developed, and we are focusing on very discrete segments which we think are the secrets to success. Now, let's get started with our host.
Matt, what's cracking?
Hey, Rick, good to see you again.
Yeah, man. You too. What's going on?
Today I want to talk about client retention and kind of rewards around that.
I don't know much about that, man. I don't know.
You got nothing?
I got nothing.
You seem like the guy to talk to.
Yeah. Look, it's a great topic, right? Like we just, as you know, we just built a new reward system here, right? So listen, I think there's two types of rewards. That's probably where we start, right? So there's, for lack of better terms, structured rewards, right? Which are like these structured behaviors that you can reward for clients. And a lot of that can be automated. We'll talk about that a little bit. And then there is a different type of reward that we would call, I guess for sake of today, like surprising, like a surprising reward, right? So here's what we'll start with. We know that without a shadow of a doubt, surprising rewards far and away are more effective, right, than structured rewards. We'll start with that.
Well, just tell me what surprising means.
Yeah, that's a good question. So surprising would be something outside of the ordinary. So here we call that, it's a Ritz-Carlton term. I mean, we knocked it off, right? It's called surprisingly personable, and it's just exactly what it sounds, honestly. Like, would a birthday card be surprisingly personal?
No, not at all.
You got to get that from your dentist, right?
I hope so.
Right.
Well, so maybe not from the dentist. Right. I hope I get a birthday card. You're going to say mom.
I'll get you a card, Matt. Don't worry.
Do you get dentist birthday cards?
Yeah, of course.
Jeez, all right.
Yeah,
you kind of a big deal,
dentist.
Huh?
Damn, God. But look, so surprisingly would be not that, right? It would be something where out of the ordinary. So let me give you an example. So say somebody at the gym here, you know, we got an older clientele, so they still run around with those little like iPod shuffles or whatever, right? So let's say somebody leaves one here at the gym, right? And they think they left it here and it goes missing, whether it was they left it in the car or whatever, right? And they're like, oh, I think I left my iPod shuffle there. Like, you know, I'm so bummed. Have you guys seen it in the lost and found? We're like, no, it's a good client. They can't find it. So how hard would it be to jump on, say, Amazon and buy like a refurbished one, right?
Sure.
Like 30, 40 bucks. And then next time that client comes in, you have it waiting and say, listen, I know you lost this. You really wanted it. We couldn't load your music up per se, but here you go, right? That's surprisingly personable.
Probably pretty blown away if you did that.
Exactly. That's the kind of stuff where people will take a picture of it, right? They'll put it on their Facebook page and they champion it. That stuff is super sticky, right? So that's what I mean by surprising. You know, other examples of that here in the gym have been, we had a client that was struggling to eat vegetables, I believe, right? And so one of the trainers ordered these spices that they had told them about. It was just in a side conversation, but they remembered it and they let the desk know, and the desk ordered through our Amazon account, right? Some spices for vegetables. It's like next time they come in, hey, here's the things we were talking about the other day. That's huge, hugely impactful because it's so personal, right? It's not a systematic or an automation or anything like that. It's literally just paying attention.
Well, there has to be some kind of structure around that. You don't just willy-nilly buy gifts, do you?
No. That's the hard thing, is to structure surprising, right? Or that's like structured, unstructured. Like, how do you do that? And so the way that we handle it, which is what I would suggest for everyone, is we set aside a budget of $300 a month and it goes into our marketing budget, right? And it has to be spent. So it's not like it's negotiable. Like, we have to spend $300 a month on client gifts. And they don't have to be like exactly $20 or $50 or whatever that is. We just kind of use our discretion. But the key is, the system is that there's $300 to be spent. It has to be spent. We have to account for where that money was spent month over month. And if we do that, then what it does is it puts a different lens on everyone here. So they know they have to spend this $300, which sounds crazy, right? Like, when you say this, it's kind of like, man, if I was a coach and somebody gave me a budget of $300 to spend on gifts for my clients, I would have been ecstatic, right?
Sure.
But just keep in mind, like, I'm the owner. That's the way I think. And for those of you guys that are listening and implement this, you know, you might be surprised that maybe your staff doesn't, you know, meet the budget. You got to hold them accountable to spending this money, which sounds crazy, but it's true. So you got to spend the 300. I have to know kind of where it went. So give me a list of where it went, right? And kind of maybe what the impact was. And did you grab any pictures of how happy they were for our private social media pages, things like that. So that's the way you structure it, right? You set a budget and you hold everyone accountable to that budget.
Yeah. So basically kind of each of your coach, one gift per coach, find a client kind of deal.
Yeah. I mean, you could do it any way you want, as long as you spend the 300. I mean, if it's one coach doing it all, as long as it's for different clients, right?
Yeah. Then I mean, you'd probably want to spread it out a little bit and get a couple more people involved. One client a month.
Yeah, exactly. One client gets $300 a month. That's amazing.
That's pretty cool. Yeah,
that's the best client ever.
Yeah.
So, and we know that's far and away more effective than structured, but listen, structured is better than nothing, right? Or organized. So what does that mean? Well, these are things like, through our CRM, we have a rewards program where if people refer a client, they get a certain amount of points, or if they check in on the app, or, you know, if they leave a positive Google review or five-star Google or Facebook review. I mean, there's certain things, really, I look at that more as rewarding the right behaviors that we want out of our clients. So the structured rewards, they do move the needle. It's like getting a punch card for shakes or ice cream cones or something. You know, it's nice.
Sure.
It's not the only reason you go there, right?
It's a little more gamified, though, is how we do it.
Exactly. Right? It's definitely going to increase engagement. Maybe not hugely, but a little bit. And it's definitely going to, I would structure that in a way that drives the type of client behavior that you want to see. That's really how it's really valuable, right? It's driving different client behavior. But if you look at that versus going into that same ice cream store and they give you a personalized gift based on a conversation you've had, wildly more impactful, right?
Probably never going to go anywhere else.
Exactly. It's pretty damn sticky at that point. So I would say you need both. Like, come up with a structured plan, pick the behaviors that you want. So for us, I mean, obviously client referrals are huge. Again, schedule in the app. You've got an older clientele. Sometimes that can be a challenge. So get on the app, schedule that way, refer people. Again, leave Google reviews, come in for your workouts. That's important. Make our frequent sweaters list. I mean, just any of the little things that we want to see behaviorally that we can reward and get them to gamify, all good. And that's only going to help engagement, right? And give us more of that. But it doesn't hold a candle to surprisingly personable.
Sure.
And that's the way you systemize it. So I think you and I talked about this, but did you read Moments?
Yeah.
Okay.
Great book.
Yeah. So Dan and Chip Heath, for those of you guys that don't know, they wrote Switch and Made to Stick, right? Great guys, great authors. And obviously you and I are both fascinated about like human behavior, right? And the science of the economics, if you will, of human behavior, right? And so in this book, Moments, they had some really interesting stats, right? And a couple of different case studies. One of them was on Disney. And as you know, Disney is obviously world-class at customer service. I mean, shoot, I've been to the Disney school, right, to learn their leadership processes and things they do. So super amazing company, and they can get a guy to stand out in the heat wearing a Mickey hat, right, not have him be caught smoking a cigarette behind the building where the kids can see him, you know. I mean, it's a pretty tall order, so they do a great job with their culture overall and the customer experience. So here's the study. They took these families, and they sent them on a week's vacation to Disney. And they said, okay, at any time throughout the week, I think they gave them a structure like four times a day, let's just say, I want you to rate 1 through 10, what kind of experience you're having, right? So what you're doing and what the experience was, right? And so as you can imagine, like, okay, you're standing in lines, 1,000 degrees, your kids are fussy, you're waiting to get on Harry Potter, right? You got an hour and a half wait, maybe longer, right? That's probably a 2 at best.
Never coming back at that moment.
Never, yeah. I hate my life, FML, right? But then later, like, you're having ice cream in an area and like a Disney character comes around, you know, that might be a 10 or a 9, right? And so they did this all throughout the week, ups and downs, right? Well, the interesting thing was, I think the numeric average came out to like a 5, right? It wasn't that dynamic. It's kind of like right down the middle. Mm-hmm. But if you asked, when the Disney participants in the study were polled, they gave Disney 9s and 10s, right? And you think, well, wait a minute, like their actual score was a 5. So it wasn't that great. But here's what they proved, and here's why surprisingly personable is so important. The peaks, if you will, and these are the terms they use in the book, pits, as you remember, like pits are low points, right? And peaks are high points. So if the peaks are so high and they're so great, right, they will offset any of the pits, and they'll even bring up the overall average, right? So that you're really putting out a customer experience of a 5 out of 10, but you're being rated at a 9 or 10 because the peaks were so freaking awesome, right? So when we talk about things like, surprisingly personable, spices for vegetables are iPod shuffles, whatever those things are, those are the things that make your gym a 10 out of 10. Because let's face it, you're going to work really hard. You're going to have a trainer that has an off day. You're going to have a towel that has a hole in it. You're going to have some like twos and fours and whatevers. Sure. But those peaks can drive the perceptual customer experience all the way up to a 10. Right?
Sure. Well, somebody's going to want to know, don't want to get too off topic, but like what are some other peaks through that client journey that they should focus on then to creating those powerful moments?
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously surprisingly personable in any way, shape or form. I mean, listen, you can systemize this to a certain extent, right? Like always touching a client during a workout appropriately, obviously not, you know, like touch them on the shoulder, slap them on the back, you know. I mean, we know from studies through physicians, right, and their practices that people's perceived time spent with you will go up by 20% if they're just touched on the arm or something. So why don't we borrow that, right? Things like that to create peaks or celebrating small accomplishments, right? Like you might have somebody who's struggling to lose weight, which is a very common goal for every sure. coach and training gym. And, you know, maybe they're only 10 pounds down and they have a 15 pound goal or 20 pound goal, but yet their pushups have gone from 10 to 20. Basic
make,
example.
Make a big deal of it.
Exactly. Yeah. So like you got to look for those little wins for your customers on a daily basis. And you can systemize that. It's more of a cultural shift, but you can systemize that. And those are peaks, right? So you can give people a lot of small peaks like that, and you can structure that as best as possible. But a lot of it is just culture.
Sure. Right?
Understanding, getting your team and your coaches to understand what peaks and pits yeah. are.
I mean, it's definitely not all about, you know, buying them gifts and things like that to make their experience awesome, you know.
Just yeah.
be a good, positive coach.
Right.
Tell them they're doing a great job, things
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, yeah, you're right. It's really simple. And it's like, hey, can you, is it facilities? It's like sometimes, but you probably remember from the book, there was also a study done on, there's a hotel in California, and I can't think of the name of it right now, but listen, pick up the book, you guys, Moments. It's an awesome book. And there's a story in there, and I can't remember the name of the hotel right now, but in this hotel, they consistently get ranked like the highest customer service ratings, you know, in all of Los Angeles. Now, it's not that great. So when they really break down the hotel overall, you know, the facilities are okay. The rooms are a little bit dated, right? The pool is small, right? It's not that stuff. And I guess the equivalent here would be like your equipment or your locker rooms. You know, it needs to be good enough, but beyond good enough, it's the special stuff. And so in the story about this hotel, one of the things that created such a high peak for them was something that they called the Popsicle Hotline. Which is, it's really simple. You're out by the pool, it's hot. There's a red phone. You go over and you grab it. Somebody's always on the other end, and it's known as the Popsicle Hotline. So they pick it up and be like, you know, what flavors do you want, right? And you're like, oh, I'll have strawberry or whatever. And they come out with a cold tray with your flavored popsicles on there. That doesn't cost them a lot of money, right? It's not that
really
complicated,
cool.
But it's such a unique feature. So such a peak in your experience that gets mentioned very often in yeah. their reviews, right?
I mean, nobody does that, right? I mean, it just stands out.
Exactly.
Actually going to put one in your office.
Really?
Put the phone right in your office and actually we'll put it on the floor and then they'll call you and you can bring out popsicles.
Great. Hey, I love it. I got to do something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It gives me reason to be here. I think the other example from that hotel was, when they had the clothes dry cleaned, they delivered them in like a butcher's paper
yeah.
kind of rolled up with a piece of twine.
Yeah.
But it's a big deal. I mean, like usually you get them in a plastic bag, right? But those little things would cause those peaks, right? Those high peaks. And so like the rooms were good enough, pool was good enough, but man, they created peaks. So we're talking about that here, rewards and retention and keeping people happy. It's like, as long as your facility is good enough, right? Okay, clinically clean, check, right? We have all the things we need, check, right? People aren't going to trip and kill themselves, check. I mean, all those things put you in the good enough category. Put more juice into the experiences around it, right? The little things like the Popsicle Hotline. Mm-hmm. I mean, you and I have had this conversation, I think, when we read the book. I remember getting on the whiteboard with you and saying, all right, what's our Popsicle Hotline?
Right,
like,
right,
what
right,
is it
yeah.
going to be, right?
Like planning it all out.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, well, what's our Popsicle Hotline? Like, what can we do that's going to be that much different, that much unique? So yeah, man, it's systematic rewards are good. Surprisingly, personable is awesome. And really think about this pits and peaks, right? And yeah. these different scenarios.
Well, you definitely need both. We obviously are using a system that has a built-in point system around the systematic part. If somebody doesn't have access to something like that, is not doing that, where would you tell them to start with their systematic rewards? And
yeah, that's a good point. I would say just pick a few client behaviors that are really important to you and reward those. I mean, if anything, like I think the most important thing for any personal training business is a straight referral, right? Because that's a layup. They walk in with their wallet hanging out of their pocket.
What did we do before we had all this?
Yeah, we used to do, before we had the automation around all the different behaviors, we would do a handwritten thank you note, which is a great touch, right? Again, it's like everyone, we pass it around at meetings, everybody signs it. And then we would send them a gift certificate for 25, what we call gym bucks. And it was just dollars to be spent anywhere in the gym.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, I mean, we were certainly only rewarding that behavior at that time. We didn't have the automation for the check-ins and all these things. But that was impactful, right? People don't refer people for the gift, but to be recognized in a meaningful way, right?
Sure.
And rewarded that way with like a handwritten note. It's a little bit more special.
Absolutely, a little special touch. I think for a lot of other gyms out there, and we've even seen it here from time to time, is you have these things in place, but the coaches or the staff just isn't talking about it. I mean, we have it there, but you know, we were like, why don't we have more? Why don't we have more referrals? Well, we just need to talk about it, and these rewards and things go with it. And then when it does happen, like you said, we got to make a big deal about it.
Right. Yeah. No, great point. I mean, it's not like these things, it's kind of like a gym owner buying a new kettlebell or a new treadmill and being like, this is going to blow my gym up. No, you've got to operationalize it. You got to sell it. You got to talk about it. You have to use it.
Yep.
Same thing with reward systems or anything else. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said before, like getting people to spend those $300 on surprisingly personable. I was shocked at that. You have to actually hold people accountable to spend that money. But don't be surprised as an owner, you're going to have to do the same thing.
Yeah, just have to stay on top of people no matter what it is. I think you were mentioning you did this kind of NPS score with these rewards.
Yeah. Yep, good point. So an NPS score, and I don't know, Matt, you don't have even talked about this really, but we send this out as a survey here, as you know. So what we get back, NPS score is called Net Promoter Score, and it's used in every industry, so it's not just in fitness, right? So basically the way that it works is you've got, say, a 1 through 6 is what we would describe as a detractor, right? Probably the lower the number, obviously, the bigger the detractor. So that's someone who literally doesn't even like your business that much, right? You've got a 7 and 8, which would be considered on the fence, right? And then you have a 9 and 10, which would be called a promoter, which is someone who's more than likely referring people and they're a big champion of your business, right? And then you have an average net promoter score. So you send out these surveys periodically, as we do, and your clients score you on a 1 through 10. And I think the survey, they're all a little different, but ours just says on a score of 1 to 10, how would you rate us, right? And then it says like, how likely would you be to refer a friend, right? Which is important. And then like, if they want to leave any notes, they can. Well, other companies use net promoter scores as well. So what's interesting is in that book, in the book Moments, they referenced the net promoter score. And they said, here's the deal with the net promoter score. Most companies, whether they like to admit it or not, spend most of their time and resources trying to move their low-end detractors up the scale a little bit, right? So imagine you've got someone who's at a 2. So they're just grumpy. They're still coming in, maybe just out of habit, but they just don't like it, right? And everybody knows the clients that you guys have that are like that, right? You're just like, ugh, you know, always on your case, just yak, yak, yak. And you wonder why they're even still there,
right?
They're just always on your case. And if somebody asks them, they'd be like, well, it's okay. You know, they're certainly not a promoter. Well, most companies spend a lot of time with those people, trying to move them up the scale or trying to put out fires, or quite honestly, scared to make a mistake for fear of upsetting that person, right? The people they forget about are the sort of your maybe 6, 7, 8s, right? I'd say 6, kind of lump them into that, like, they could be swayed to go from on the fence to promoter, right? So what things like surprising rewards do, right, is they create a really high peak. And you should be trying to create those peaks for your regulars. And so if you're always focused your energy on trying not to screw up and chasing around your lowest end customers, your biggest complainers, trying to move them up the ladder, you're probably not putting a lot of energy into creating peaks for the people you take for granted, sure, which is the people that have been coming in 3 years, 3 days a week, right? You're just like, oh, they're going to be here forever. Well, are they? And you don't put enough energy into creating amazing experiences. And the metrics would show, and this is the interesting part if you're a numbers person, the low-end people, typically, if you move them up the ladder, they're rarely going to go from detractor to promoter. They're just not, right? So you move them up the detractor scale. So they're less unhappy with it, right? They don't really spend any more money or do anything different. If you take a person that's on the fence, a 6, 7, 8, and you move them to a 9, 10, they're going to spend on average like 35% more money in your business. So taking a personal training business, it's like extra sessions. Maybe they're doing subs. Maybe they're doing nutritional counseling, whatever it is that you have in your business, right? Sure. So the advice would be, taking all this stuff into account, is definitely come up with some structured rewards, right? Better than nothing. And it certainly drives behavior. Surprisingly, personable is where it's at. Because that, again, through the lens of moments, is going to create more peaks, right? And don't forget to continuously do that for your middle of the road, taken for granted, everyday clients. Because right now they may kind of be on the defense, right? And you're so worried about upsetting Mrs. Jones, who's always pissing and moaning about anything, yeah, that just sucks all your energy. You don't put enough energy into your regulars. And if you ignore them, you lose the ability to move them into the raving fan category, at which point they're going to spend more money, refer more people, and go. So I'm not saying that squeaky wheels don't get a little bit of oil, but at some point it's like, man, haters are going to hate, right? You just got to take your regulars, make them super happy, and move them up the ladder a little bit. And that's going to have a way bigger impact on your business.
Yeah, I mean, really good points. I think a lot of times, Jim's getting the weeds and all they're worrying about is the clients that are trying to cancel, right? And all you're doing is salvaging, trying to salvage instead of creating that awesome customer experience that will help your retention way in the long run, way further than you know, kicking all the clients that really don't want to be there.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. And you know, it's just an energy thing. Like we only have so much time in the day and so much energy to allocate to anything. Right. So if your energy is spent, like you said, trying to plug the dike, and I think that's important, but only to a certain extent, right? If you're just chasing your tail all the time, you're robbing yourself of any creativity or any energy to put into your everyday regulars that could be moved up the ladder a little bit. We know there's financial positive impacts for you. There's probably positive impacts for them on their health and fitness, and all is right with the world. So I would just say, in my advice, come up with something structured if you don't have anything. Implement immediately a surprisingly personable campaign. Look for ways to create peaks for your regulars, right? And don't be scared to make your lower end detractors mad, right? Oh, you did eucalyptus tiles. I'm allergic to eucalyptus. It's like, you know what? Go work out somewhere else, because the 50 people that liked it are now going to buy an extra session from me a week, right?
Absolutely,
like, yeah. Yeah, little things like that. So anyway, that's the overall concept. So I'm a huge believer in rewards, but there is a difference in the two and how you should use them.
Wow, really great points. Thank you.
All right, buddy. Good talking to you.
Good talk.
Talk soon.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Alloy Personal Training Business Podcast. If you have any questions for the host or are interested in learning more about running a successful personal training business of your own, please reach out and say hello. Connect with us at www.alloypersonaltraining.com and sign up for our free newsletter to receive additional resources.